Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of the hosts do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the BAIO, the Black African Infrastructure Organization.
Do you believe in the concept of an independent diaspora nation state for the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade, the biggest crime in the history of humanity? Are you tired of Black African people being scattered across a diaspora, living as second and third class citizens in foreign lands? Should Black African people have their own Israel? If you believe and support any of these positions, check out the BAIO social network on Ming. People with various thoughts and opinions on reality coming together with like mind toward a singular goal and common denominator: land, infrastructure, and nationhood. Visit BAIOAfricStand5.ming.com. That's BAIOAfricStand5.ming.com. Black African power and a BB Fahodie. Total African liberation. Peace.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
And I'm about to let off knowledge, wisdom, understanding, truth, recruit,
hand in the air. Put up a peace sign, a peace sign. And though we're feeling good, we should, we could, we would stop. Think for a moment, okay, and then sway. Well, I can make that we must do away with all the stress and the strife. So God bless your life, use kindness and never blindness, and you will find that this perspective is best. Check it out. These are the words that I manifest. I manifest.
Gangstar has a lot of records, a lot of hits, but that one has a special place in my heart. I always loved that record. It's like masterful sampling. Like, if you see, when you check out the songs that he used to sample that record, you'll see how masterful that song is. Anyway, this is your brother, Mr. Holipsism. The topic of the show today is the secret black talking heads don't want you to know. I'm going to tell you a secret. It's a secret none of the mainstream or conscious community talking heads are ever going to reveal to you. You ready? Here it is. You don't need a leader. You need a system. Whenever you hear someone saying you need a leader, you can put money on and bet your paycheck in your house, they'll come to the conclusion they are the one most qualified to lead you. How convenient, huh? They just happen to endorse a philosophy that places them at the center of your universe. I guess it's just a coincidence, right? This is why I say, if you're looking for a dick to ride, you've come to the wrong place with the BAIO. Stop sitting on the damn sidelines waiting for some charismatic personality for you to watch twist in the wind and be a martyr for you. Get your skills, talent, passion, tenacity, determination, and black ass into the land, infrastructure, and nationhood game. Basically what the secret is. I want to bring in my co-pilots for tonight, Minister Dawood.
Peace, big brother.
Peace. And Big Dev, my brother.
Peace, brother.
Shooky, shooky now.
What's up? You got that microphone situation under control, brother?
Yeah, you can hear me?
No, I don't hear nothing. I don't hear this.
You don't hear me now?
Oh, no, I hear you. Okay. I don't hear the scrum. So that's good.
All right, cool.
So what do you think about that secret? Was it really a secret?
No, it ain't a secret.
And I want to explain what I mean by that before we get into it. And this is something like Carla had posted one of my old videos, and I had forgotten about it because it was actually my favorite YouTube video that I've done. And I liked it because it wasn't really, I didn't write it out, scripted. It was just off the top of my head and what I was feeling at the time. And I was talking about Black leadership and how they relate to what's going on with us here in America in our situation. And the reason why I say you don't need a leader, you need a system, is because Black leadership has been playing a game on us. The talking heads in mainstream media and in the conscious community have been playing a big game on us, because what they want to do is they want to present themselves as leaders but not actually perform and take the role of leaders. So it's leaders in name only but not in function. So what do I mean by that? You have somebody who says that I'm an electrician. I have a license in electricity. I know all about it. I know how to hook up your house. I know how to do this. And so they come to your house and they see that you have an electrical problem. And so you ask them, all right, well, what are you going to do to fix it? And then he goes, well, that's not why I'm here. Like, this is your house. Why don't you fix it? Like, so then what the fuck were you here for?
Right.
Why are you? So you're here to tell me, oh, you have an electrical problem. Yeah, I know I have an electrical problem. That's why I called you.
Exactly.
But that's what they do. They put it all off. They don't take any responsibility for anything, and they put the whole thing in your lap. Like, you're supposed. Now, how do you solve this? Well, brother, you got to go and learn about electricity. That should take you about 4 years, and then after that time is up, maybe you can start fixing your house.
Right.
Like, are you serious?
Really, it's 5, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah, 5 years, okay.
Yep.
Or more, depending on how good you are.
This is true.
So this is the game that's being played on us. These people, and another thing, and I can't not add this into the mix, and this is a stance. Me and Dev were talking about this recently, and I'm taking a real strong stance on this. Before, I was kind of like, I let people get away with it, and I didn't really, hold them to the fire. Now I think, in light of what we're going through right now, these people need to be held to the fire. And this is my position, and I think that this is a position that we should have as a principle. You cannot make money off the struggle.
Right.
If you make money off the struggle, that is a conflict of interest. It's so funny that this is the same thing that's going on with the Democratic Party right now. The Democratic Party has a little civil war going on because you have people that are corporatists who are big donor candidates who take money from Wall Street and from corporations. And then you have the other faction that says, if you are going to represent us, you cannot take money from big donors in Wall Street. So isn't it ironic that we're having the same situation here, except the only difference is, at least in the Democratic Party, they acknowledge that that is a dynamic. In the conscious community and just in the Black community as a whole, I've never heard this addressed except by us.
Is it true?
Can you think of anybody else that's addressing this?
No, not at all.
So, I just want to give a little preamble and background to this title. I want to get y'all guys' opinions on this.
Dev?
Move on, bro.
No, Dev, you go first.
Okay, so what's my opinion? What's my take on it? First off, I came to this conclusion kind of a couple of years ago, man, where because I come up in the movement, and my coming in the movement, I come under quote-unquote leaders, and or leader, I should say. And my minister, who was under that particular leader, was always trying to get us to be thinking and individuals, not necessarily as in break away from the group, but to think for yourself and think of the best way to contribute to the group. And you know, the group itself that we were part of would kept trying to get you to think as a just a zombie and a clone. And so I came to the conclusion that, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, the group itself and the leader of the group were really trying to get you to stay under their particular leadership because basically if you did, they continued to build their war chest and sustain not only them, but, man, what I found out was to sustain that person's family. So I think that this kind of model, unfortunately, is being duplicated all over the cosmic community. And the funny thing about it is that when the, you know what I'm saying, when social media became pervasive and a lot of people began to get in contact with each other who normally wouldn't be in contact with each other, it seemed like the overwhelming majority of people out there wanted to say, well, we're not going to be like this group. We're not going to be like that group. We're not going to be like this leader or that leader. But it seems like so many people have popped up just like the ones that was using us that we can't even tell the difference anymore. You know what I'm saying? So to me, it seems to me that you have to make or we have to create or have the guts to create a homogenous group of men and women with a strong core in it. Not necessarily that everybody's going to come under this core, but these core gentlemen and women are going to be the ones who are going to make sure that the principles of the group is upheld and that nobody deviates from the overall mission. But other than that, it's your group, it's our group, and we're all putting our resources together for one common cause, as opposed to we're all putting our resources together because we got to help the leader.
Right.
And that's my thoughts on that for now.
Yeah, or help some little individual get whatever they're doing going.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what it seems to be. It's like our forces and our energy is scattered all over the place because when one individual decides, well, you know, I want to start a school. One individual decides, you know what, I want to do a movie. One individual decides, oh, I want to do some type of project or something. And so each person is saying, well, why don't you give to this? Why don't you give to that? And nobody is working together to accomplish anything collectively.
Right, right. Yep.
And this is the reason why I'm totally against making money off the struggle.
Right.
I really am against it. I think that we need to have that as a principle because when you have people that make money off the struggle, they have no interest to change the situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why what you said, when a guy, some people can come in criticizing the established leaders who they feel are hustling the people, but then when they get on and they get popular, they turn right into the same hustlers.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because their way, because the only real answer, the only real solution is nationhood. If you don't have that as your answer and your solution, then the next solution is how do you set up your individual hustle? So you come up to the people, you come to the people with all of these highfalutin concepts and ideas of white supremacy and how we be in this and we be in that. But at the end of the discussion, what is it? Give to this organization, give to this whatever, so that I can do this and I can do that. It's never nation.
Right. Right.
And the funny thing about it is this is why I say the BAIO has not asked the general public for a dime.
Mm-hmm.
The only people putting money into the BAIO actually is the people who have shows like me, you, Tala, because we do that so we can all benefit from a premium account on BTR. That's it. No one's asking for any money. What we're asking for you to do is to network with people in your area. Come together with people in your area that believe in and feel the same way you do about nationhood and associate with each other, socialize with each other, get to know each other. Who else is doing that? If you can name an organization that's doing that, please tell me who. Because everybody's trying to get a dollar out of your pocket. We're not interested in that. We're more interested in what is your – do you support nationhood? Do you support land, infrastructure, and nationhood and an independent nation state? That's what we're more interested in.
Yo, if I can add, brother, another thing that I discovered when I came to the same conclusion that you came to is one of the things that we have to be very careful of is we say that we – you know, if you're in a conscious community, you say that you're not trying to be like, you know, you're not trying to be like the normal people who buy into America and buy into the culture. So you say that you have either African culture, you say you got Hebrew, Muslim, whatever culture that you have. But I think that we as a people, we buy into the American concept of the quote-unquote self-made man. So in other words, and somebody put me onto this years ago. So in other words, the self-made man, self-made woman, they basically start out with nothing, and they get support from the people, and they build themselves up and become successful. I think that we buy into that, but we buy into it in the movement. So in other words, like a dude, rarely a woman, but a dude will come through and say, I have the right answer, I have the concept, I just need help. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that triggers those of us who still buy into the American culture of the self-made man and say, let's help this person to become successful, because if you help him become successful, I'm going to be successful. And then you have what's called also trickle-down economics in America. So we have trickle-down economics in the conscious community too, in the struggle. And we say, if you help the leader, then the leaders, eventually, his blessings will fall down on you. It's the old concept from the Bible where Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. So we'd be like, yo, you know what? If you lift up this brother or this sister, then eventually you become successful yourself. We have bought into that and not even really realized it. So when people come to us with the Messiah complex, I'm going to make this movie, it's going to solve everything, or I'm going to build this business model, it's going to solve everything, or whatever it is that they come to us with, what that does, I believe, in my heart, psychologically and spiritually, is it triggers the same old desire for us to see a self-made person become successful that we could cheer for, and we convince ourselves that that person is going to be benevolent enough to turn around and give us crumbs off the table. But the reality of it is that what we find is that never happens. And so that when that does not happen, then you see the fracture of the group, and people start taking shots saying, well, I always knew that Negro was a crook. Oh, you did? You mean like 5 years ago you knew that? Or no, maybe you knew it 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I really believe that that plays a part in it, that there's still a lot of cultural things that we picked up in this country that we have not tried to shed and get rid of unless we have been exposed to somebody that talks the way the BAIO talks and really talks nationhood, which is more of a Black African collective concept than the self-made millionaire or the self-made successful person who's going to say, I'm going to get you guys to help me, then I'm going to turn around and be a dictator and portion out and parcel out what I'm going to help you out with. I just think that we really need to turn around and look at ourselves and ask ourselves, is that what we are part of? Because you can see on Facebook and social media, there's still quite a few of these dudes that's out there that people are following. Man, I didn't even know people still following King Noble. And they are.
One thing I know is if you want to present yourself as a leader, you will get followers. Because the majority of people are sheep. They want to follow and they want to get along and they want to, like, people want to be a part of something.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can create something for them to be a part of, they'll follow it, even if it's complete utter nonsense, because King Noble is a fucking joke.
Right.
I mean, if you following him, I would take a guess that his education base of his average follower is probably, they probably did not finish high school.
Yep.
Because there's no way you can be an educated person and be a King Noble follower. And I'm sorry I'm even mentioning this dude's name. God, I broke my rule. Anyway. But I just wanted to say something about donations and investments or whatever you want to call it. Also, as a principal, you should not be asking for donations or investments from anybody unless you have 100% transparency,
mm-hmm,
and 100% accountability. Everybody knows who is in charge of the fund. Everybody has that person's contact information and their picture. So now I know what you look like. I know where to contact you. I know how to pick up a phone and call you Because if you're not willing to put yourself up to that amount of scrutiny, then don't ask for money. Because
mm-hmm.
money is no joke. You know what I'm saying? When people, like, what do they say? Amos Wilson said that wherever your money is, that's where your values lie.
Right. Right.
This is why this whole thing about the Illuminati and all this bull crap, you know what that is? It's about corporations wanting to know what your spending habits is so that they can market to you toward that and make you money. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why would, you know, some of these conspiracy theories are so stupid, just on its face. If you have rich people who make their money off of your spending habits, why would they want to put you in a FEMA camp?
Right. I was talking to somebody about that just the other day, man. As a matter of fact, today it was, brother. I'm glad you said that. They were talking about the big, you know how you usually talk about Thanos, the white man being the Thanos, and he's the master of the universe, and that's how
right.
black people look at him? So this person was telling me, because there's somebody out there that you both, me and you know, and they're out there preaching this doom and gloom about gentrification. And they're mm-hmm. saying, basically, gentrification is going to destroy black people, and where black people going to go, this, that, and next thing. And my postulation was this, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Anybody that comes to America comes to the black community to make money first. Am I lying?
No, you're not.
So if the Arabs, they got up off of us. The, you know, what's it called? The Asians got up off of us. Everybody who comes here, they put whatever they need to put into the black community. And then mainstream America, all of the corporations, they, you know what I'm saying, market towards us. And as a matter of fact, I was saying to them, I said, don't you understand why all of the major characters from these white films are now being recast as black characters? I said, do you think they really love us like that? No, they want our dollars, and they
mm-hmm.
know that we done got hip to that, and we're saying we're not going to spend no money with you if we don't see something that looks like us. That's a teaching that you and I know, because we're both around the same age group, all three of us, that we used to say in the conscious groups, we used to say, the money, it don't have nobody that looks like us. When you look in the history books, it don't have nobody look like us. Or on TV, you can't say TV no more. You can't say the movies no more. So the reason, to me, why they use you in the movies and on TV is so that you can feel like you got a stake in America and you keep spending your money. So if they get rid of you, if they get rid of me and you, like, you know, there's many of us out here who are responsible with our money, but we know that we as a people, black people, we're not too responsible with our money. We spend as consumers, we live above our means, and it's a part of our culture in America, unfortunately. And they love that. So how the hell are they going to gentrify and just annihilate you, and it's only going to be white people here, when they know damn well that you spend way more than white people spend, and they depending on you spending that money to get rich? You know what I'm saying? Yes, they are moving into your community, but they got a plan for you to where you're going to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the reality of it is there's always going to be a place for you here in this country as long as you're here and you buy into it. But the question is it a comfortable place that gives you a good quality of life, or should you think of going someplace else and building someplace else to get a better quality of life? And that's the question right there.
Yep. And the answer as to why those people think that way is called non-nuanced thinking. One-dimensional
right.
thinking. That's the
right.
that's the main reason. Oh, I was going to bring Devin, but he says give him a minute. So good.
Oh, okay.
That'll give me a chance to expand on something. I want to know what your thoughts is on this argument.
Sure.
We shouldn't go to Africa because white supremacy is global, but we should build a nation in America.
Wait. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, God. No.
If I hear one more person say white supremacy is global, I'm going to start kicking people. We kick them right in their neck. I'm getting tired of hearing that. It's like that's that tape recorder knowledge that just gets passed around that people keep saying over and over again with no critical thinking about what the hell they're talking about. But let me let you answer, and then I'll give my opinion on it.
Well, Well, here's my thing. Like, not only that, but I was talking, matter of fact, I was discussing with somebody today about this. Because did you know that the new narrative is you shouldn't build in Africa because the white man's all over in Africa, but you should build in Haiti? Did you know that? That's the new narrative, brother. So you,
wow.
I'm putting you onto it now before you start hearing it. But that's the new
okay.
narrative. The white man
I'll
is not
myself.
In Haiti. Okay. That's the new narrative. The white man is not in Haiti. He has not dominated Haiti. He's in Africa. He's got full control of Africa. We can't go over there no more. But we
so
can
the white
Haiti
man controls Nigeria?
Listen, this is what they're saying.
Okay. I didn't know that. I didn't know how. So the white man allowed Aliko Dangote to become like a multi-billionaire.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
He was that benevolent. He decided that, you know, he would be, what you call, 10 times richer than the richest black man in America. He decided that.
Right. And richer than most white people.
Yes. Yes. He
wow.
also allowed.
And, so, and then people laugh at us when we talk about them thinking that the white man is Thanos and he has all the Infinity Gauntlet and all the gems. Like, they think that that's
right.
a joke.
Right.
You are literally, oh, you know what, let me shut up. Go ahead.
No, no, I mean, listen, brother, that's what I'm saying. Is like, that's, to me, that whole global white supremacy thing is asinine. It's like, yes, America does have a powerful military, powerful CIA, information network, so on and so forth, whatever. It is what it is. But when you say that it's global, so why don't you just build here in America? Do you understand what you're saying? Do you understand that you're saying that his headquarters is here, you should build here because it's global? That doesn't make no sense to me. It's like, it's global, so I might as well build right in his house. I might as well move into his house and build right in his house because it's global. He's going to get me anywhere. It's like, you know, I'm a fan of the Terminator movies, even though I must admit, brother, the more they make them, the more terrible they become.
Yeah,
but way,
yeah.
The typical scenario of a Terminator movie is you got your resistance in these little alcoves all around out in the outskirts of the world, and then you got Skynet, and there's one basic place Skynet is at. And in this place, they got hundreds and hundreds of robots that don't like to do nothing but hunt you down and skin you. So in that argument, I guess what they're saying is that Skynet's all over the world, so we should try to build the resistance right in Skynet.
Perfect analogy. Perfect analogy.
He's going to get us anyway, so we might as well build it right under his nose because, you know, he's going to get us anyway, so that's the best thing we can. What the hell? It just doesn't make no sense to me.
Well, I want to ask this question. If the white man is supreme, if he's Thanos, all he can do is snap his fingers and the whole universe disappears. If that's the case, why don't they do something about North Korea?
Right, indeed.
North Korea is talking mad crap. They testing nuclear weapons. They saying we have weapons of mass destruction. And the United States is as quiet as a church mouse. You know why? It's called strategic positioning. North
mm-hmm.
Korea's allies are China and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So what you going to do? You ain't going to do a damn thing. But what happened to all that white supremacy? I thought white supremacy was a global system. Well, how come you don't go over there and take the weapons of destruction, mass destruction away from the North Koreans? Maybe you're not as supreme as you're letting the world think you are. Do they forget that there's other superpowers out here in this world?
I think so, bro.
Do the United States really want a war with China and Russia? So give me a break, man.
The thing is, the worst part about it is the only way we could be supreme is within the metaphysical and the spiritual. We can't be supreme in the physical. So in other words, we're going to go down to 125th, and we're going to dump all sorts of information out as to how we're supreme if we just get in touch with our inner melanin, kundalini, or whatever it is. But we cannot be supreme in the physical The minute you start talking about, oh, you know what? I believe you. We really are supreme. Let's go build a nation someplace else. No, we can't do that because the white man's all over the place and he's just going to kill you. That doesn't make sense. Well, then what you're saying doesn't make sense.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What you're saying doesn't make sense because, hell, if he can kill your body, then that means he killed your spirit because I think that your body holds your spirit, last I checked. Or your metaphysical self. I don't know, man. But
yo, Minister, do you realize something?
What's that, sir?
I don't know if you realize what you just said, but this means that the conscious community are actually Christians.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Because that concept, what they're saying is, we control the spiritual, the white man controls the physical. So this earth is his. What? I better not hear a conscious community person say a damn thing about Jesus Christ no more.
That's right. Because
you a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how you going to talk about Christians and then have a whole philosophy based on Christian ideology?
Indeed. And I quote this particular incident many times because it still baffles me to this day. When this dude came on one of our brother's shows, and he came in busting his gun about how we all just Christians and we need to stop being Christians, this, that, and the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we started talking about nationhood, that man said, why would you want to build in Africa when America is prime real estate? And I said,
America
to myself,
is prime real estate. That is a stunning, stunning amount of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
But you to make that, when somebody makes a statement, I'm glad that they make these statements because there's certain statements that you make that shows just how unqualified you are to be a part of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Prime real estate.
Huh.
There's no more prime real estate on the face of this earth than Africa.
Indeed.
Indeed. Hello, it's where civilization began because it was such prime real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, these guys, man. It frustrates us because we know, but
right.
In a way, it's very helpful that they say these things because it just shows that these people's heads are in the clouds. They might as well start a comic book company. I mean,
right.
if you're gonna have an active imagination like that, you can be competing with Marvel right now. Because it's just straight up fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, whenever you got people that's pro Africa, Africa this, Africa that, Africa, Africa,
right.
Africa. But when we say
right.
let's build in Africa, oh, we can't build in Africa. So then, what you got Africa in your mouth for?
It's unbelievable, brother.
And they don't have no cognitive dissonance. None.
Right. It's unbelievable. Like, I sat and I listened to this sister who is Africa, you know, from her toenail to the last follicle on her head.
Right.
To another sister, the same thing I just told you a couple of minutes ago, which was what we realize now is the white man has full control over Africa. We're thinking about we should try to build somewhere in Jamaica or Haiti. I was like, oh, my God, did you just say what I thought you just said? I was dumbfounded, brother. And, you know, here's the thing is, like, I was supposed to do a show about this a while ago, and I never got around to it. But I have a friend that I came up with in the FOI years ago. And I haven't seen him in a while. He's a comedian, was a very good comedian. And he just got out of the comedian business because he just, you know, it was what it was. So anyway, I had reconnected, and he was like full-blown black nationalist, kind of like us. And he
mm-hmm.
was surprised that I was talking the way I was talking. And so I was like, yeah, bro. I said, listen, I'm still Muslim in the nation. I love the Honorable Muhammad, have my temple, preach the word, everything. I said, but I want to build a nation off the shores of America. And he said, man, so that means that you got all the nationalist people with you, right? The Garveyites and stuff like that. I said, I got to stop you right there, bro. He said, what do you mean? I said, brother, I got to stop you right there. I said, I think you've been out of this too long, brother. I said, it's the Garveyites and the nationalists who are completely against what we're talking about. He said, get the hell out of here. Of course, you know, he didn't say hell. You know? I said, no, brother. I said, I'm telling you. I said, the people who give us the most pushback is the people who claim to be nationalists. You would not believe that, but I'm telling you, like, it's only a small amount of us and everybody else. I mean, and if they do want to build there, they're talking some crazy small-scale stuff like we need to go over there and just homestead or whatever, and they're not talking about the technological nation, the kind of stuff that me and you used to talk about when we was coming up in the ranks. And he was shocked. But I told him, I said, listen, I take it that you're not on social media, so you're not a part of all of this. And I guess that's a good thing because I have to deal with it all the time myself. I said, but you need to really get yourself an account on Facebook and Instagram, and you're going to start seeing that what I'm saying is true. So
that's crazy.
I don't know. You want to get into the system, or is Dev ready to come in and give his opinion?
His line dropped. He got a call back in.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
Yeah. But we do have our brother in the queue. Do you want to raise your hand, Carla?
Oh, there it is.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
Yep.
What's going on,
what's
brother,
up,
man? You guys never just give me a night off, man. I was just sitting there just enjoying this, man, cracking up, man. Sitting there in the background coaching, instigating shit, you know?
So Tom,
I love it.
Yeah. You didn't know that we're not supposed to build in Africa, we're supposed to build in Haiti?
Oh, yeah, man. Like
that?
I said, man, look, the bottom line... The bottom line is, you know, like I said, never underestimate Negroes. You know what I'm saying? You know, niggas are coming out full force with this. This one chick, man, she disconnected me. She, I was asking some simple questions. You guys probably seen her, and I know you haven't, Miss Stone, because I know you delete people like this. But she, the chick that does the darkest shit that does all the poses and everything like that, from New York. Her name is Viola, whatever, Katie, whatever her name is, right? And she does all the, like, semi-nude pictures, whatever, like that, talking about she's into spirituality and all stuff like that. She's a, her occupation is, what she said, self-improvement, a health, what do you call it? Relationship improvement, wellness person, whatever. You know, and then she
What's
said
her name?
Dancing. Valeta Makeda, whatever her name is.
Oh, I know. Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Makeda Valeta, something like that?
Valeta, yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. You know, about a month ago, right, she put this thing up saying, look, man, we have to just be honest with ourselves. We're all Native Americans. We never came from Africa, right? So I was like saying and I was saying to her, look, you know, sister, man, you know, you're a beautiful African woman. You know what I'm saying? 100% African. You know? And I said, you ain't no more Native than I am Chinese, you know? Anyway, you know, she was a couple of threads. I guess she didn't hear that comment. And then the next day, man, my inbox blew up. You mother effer. I hate you with whatnot. Yeah, she was like, you won't. And then before I could even respond back to her, you know, she blocked me. You know? She's like, yeah, I'm Native American. I was just telling her, look, yeah, you people need to love yourself. Love yourself. I'm just trying to give her some encouragement. You got to love yourself. Love yourself. This is the whole thing. If you fundamentally, now let's be honest with ourselves here, right? The fundamental problem with black people I found years ago when I first started blogging, 10 years ago, some 10 years. I said the first thing about black people, I said, like, because I studied African culture, right? I was fascinated. I was blown away when I studied African gods, African before Christianity, before Islam, before everything, and then how we were able to fuse African religion with Islam and Christianity and stuff like that. We still kept our African culture, even with Christianity and everything. You know, our churches are different. Our mosques are different. You know,
mm-hmm.
Islam in West Africa is different than Islam in the Middle East. It's peaceful.
Indeed.
You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
It's great. And we all have cohesion. I said, there's a lot of African culture. I studied the different gods of Africa and stuff like that. I said, this is such a beautiful book. I studied African architecture, the cities they had, Timbuktu, all the. I said, I was so blown away. I said, this is where I came from? I said, I'm not even worthy. That's how I felt about Africa. I'm not worthy of this. This is great. This is a history that I'm not a part of. Part of the problem is this. America, right, thinks that Africa is something to be ashamed of. You know what I'm saying? They don't think Africa, they don't see beauty in their own race. They don't see beauty in their hair. They don't see beauty in their skin color. They don't see beauty in their nose, their eyes, everything. And let me say something right now. People say build in Jamaica. Jamaica has a skin bleaching problem. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's pandemic. That people stay out in the open. We want to look white. We want to be white. Well, we want to try to get as white as possible. They openly say it. Openly. You know what I'm saying? Openly. You know? The same thing in Africa. You know, right now, people are like, but somehow African-American culture, right, for some reason, man, we are the only group of people, even though we have people that bleach everything, but it's still a stigma. It's still a thing of shame. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Our culture, black people and culture, is based on identity solely based on race, our culture, our race, our racial heritage. Why? Because that's what it is. When we were on those slave ships, right, you had people that were Yoruba, that were Igbo, everything. There's an old saying, African saying, men chained to their shackled together are brothers. In other words, basically, whatever you thought you were in Africa, right, when you got on those slave ships, right, and you may have been enemies, right, for centuries, right? But when you were shackled together, guess what? You understood. You're being shackled because you got the same color. And then your oppressor is that guy with the white skin right there carrying you off. You know what I'm saying? And that's how the African-American mindset has been developed over 500 years. And I tell people all the time, I tell a lot of African brothers, I said, I cannot just basically, you can't just tell me to go to Africa and forget that. You know what I'm saying? I can't just go there. So they don't have the same tension with white people that we do. Why? Because they still have their cultural identity. You know, they're still evil after 10,000 years. I said, my identity is tied to being oppressed by what I look like, my physical features. That's why it's important that, that's why race is so important to black people in America. They always say, we're too race conscious. You know? I said, that's what we are. And the bottom line is, the white people fear the black people's culture in America permeating in Africa, because Africans are really race conscious. They accept people as people. That's why you can come to Africa and take over, because they see people as people. They fight with each other, you know. But when they see the white man, they see the white man as, oh, he's coming here bringing us food. He's coming here bringing us aid and everything. They don't understand, like John Henry Clay said, the white man's ultimate intentions towards them is to subjugate, enslave, and conquer them. Same thing with anything else, Chinese, anybody else. But the thing is, black men in America, we seem to understand that. That's why we're always apprehensive about anything. We're apprehensive about Donald Trump. We're apprehensive about Barack Obama. We don't really trust the system. You know what I'm saying? After what we've been through. We've always got our eyebrows wide open, and that's what the true African-American spirit is. You know?
Let me just cut in for a second. What do you think about the... Okay, so what do you think about the topic of why we as a people choose leadership instead of a system? Because we're moving towards the system part of it. But we want to get your take on that first.
I wrote a blog a couple weeks ago, The Vague and Abstract. It's a holdover from slavery. I was saying earlier. It's a holdover from slavery. Black people have Messiah syndrome. You know what I'm saying? And you can tell black people, look, you can have land, infrastructure, you have your own thing, right? But all it takes is just one leader to come around saying, no, 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 we got to fight the power. We got to do that. We don't need all that. Just that yell thing. We're going to have revolution. And then say, well, what is the revolution? What's your end game? No one ever asked that. As a matter of fact, to tell you the truth, let me tell you something right now, right here on the radio. I have basically been blocked by almost every major so-called conscious person out here. You know? They somehow don't want no part of me. You know, they don't want nothing to do with me. Because the bottom line is this, and they don't want no part of us, all any of us. But the bottom line is this, black people, for the most part, when you go to church, right, it ain't about the Bible or Jesus or whatever you believe in. It's about that pastor. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's about the pastor. All these gurus, these preachers, and everybody else has figured out is, how do I become... I don't try to be fancy about words here. White impersonato, whatever, in place of. You know what I'm saying? In other words, basically, what you have is the same sort of situation, where people are worshiping and honoring a man, right, in place of. That comes from slavery. And the same thing, the same tactic, browbeat you, you're going to hell, you're no good, this, that, and the other thing. Browbeat, keep them in line, and like that. So the bottom line is these guys say like this, hey, why should the white man have all the fun? You know, I got my congregation, they're taking care of me, I'm getting rich and famous and everything like that. Is it down the same thing happening in the conscious community? You're supposed to be giving people a message to, we're supposed to be giving a message to liberate people. But basically like this, when you have educated black people, they don't take the educated people and teach them about how to liberate themselves. Nationhood is ultimate liberation. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you guys would follow my thread this week, right? I think I tagged you guys, so I'm going to tag you to it. I put this thing up asking the question. Remember the debate I was having with Yvette Carnell about Africa? Remember that thread? Anyway, can you believe on Boyce Watkins wrote that, I don't want to go to Africa. You might be chopping my machete. Now, this is a guy that called himself a professor saying something like this. So in other words, basically, you got people believing, you taking black people's money for your books and tapes and everything, think you're going to build some financial system and everything, but yet you talking against black people in Africa. I talked to my sister, Karen Sutton, the one that's in Namibia right now that has a book, African Birth in Africa, and we all, and a couple other people that's living on the continent and everything, we are really fully ready for this war, this debate that happened, you know? No one's telling you not to have your what you want to do in America. If you only got one choice, you better take Donald Trump off on his offer and shut the hell up. If you don't want to take Donald Trump off on his offer, then leave us alone about what we're going to build in Africa because there's nothing left. The Democrat Party's gone. You know what I'm saying? All of the election cycle, that's gone. Whatever Donald Trump is going to beat out to you, you better take it and shut up or leave us alone about our nationhood because the number of black people who are looking over outside the borders of America is growing. You know, it's another thing they fear. They fear the fact that black people from the middle class, educated black people with skills and education are interested in living overseas and nationalism. That's going to disrupt the world geopolitical system because part of the reason why America is able to sell itself to the world is to tell them that black people are content with what they have in America. How can you be content and look at Detroit, St. Louis, and Chicago, and all these cities where black people are just failing, generation after generation with no jobs, no anything? Completely benign neglect. But they're able to sell that to the world.
Man, I hate to stop a good rant because he's really hitting a lot of good points.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta put you on hold, brother, because I gotta bring some other callers in. Are you gonna
no
stick
problem,
with
man.
Us?
I'll just sit back. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna sit back and relax, man.
All right, thank you for that.
No problem, brother. Peace.
Peace. All righty. Mac, you ready to come in? If you are, hit your one button. But yo, I wanted to say something just to build off of what Kala just said. He was talking about the self-hatred of Africa and stuff like that, and I believe that that's the underpinnings of it.
Uh-huh.
But I think that what's going on here is really simple. It's like a lot of things is hidden in plain sight. You know what
right.
I mean? And this is what's really going on. Now think about this, because this whole Native American thing, this is actually a natural progression. It's an organic progression.
Yes.
These guys came out first with the history, the historical aspect. So they was going back into Africa and finding out where all of these religions came from and all of this, you know, this deep cultural history. Then we came along and we started talking about nationhood, which is basically like, you know, you throwing your cards out. If you're playing poker, you saying, this is what I got. Let's see what you got. You know, we calling them. So we called
right.
them and said, all right, so let's get our nation in Africa. Now, there's two things that you can do. You can say, yeah, you know what? You're right. We should have a nation in Africa because I'm all about Africa. Africa is the cradle of civilization, blah, 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 blah. Or you can say, are we really from Africa? Because if I say we're not from Africa, then I can justify being here in America.
Right.
And that's the whole reason for it. It has nothing to do. Like I said, they hate Africa, and they're comfortable here in America. So that's the underpinnings of their argument. But really, this is just a strategy and a tactic to avoid nationhood. So because if you say you're African and you say you're all about Africa, it's impossible for you to say that and then say we shouldn't have a nation on the continent.
Right. Indeed.
So how do you get around it? A lot of these niggas is changing up their philosophy. Oh, we ain't from Africa. It looks like we from Native America. Yeah, we was originally here. That's all. When I hear somebody say that they're Native American, you know what I equate that with? It's when it's the same thing as when Daniel Bryant from the WWE has you in the yes lock, or Kurt Angle has you in the ankle lock, or, you know, somebody's holding, like Chris Benoit got you in the cripple crossface. It's a tap out. You are tapping out. You are saying, I'm a bitch, I give up.
Right.
That's all I'm hearing when I hear this, oh, I'm Native American. We was here first, and we was all, we didn't come from Africa. All you are saying basically is that you're a bitch. And that's all it is. It's nothing more complicated than that. It's real simple and plain sight for everyone to see. The reason why you don't want to embrace nationhood is because you know you're going to have to stand behind all the rhetoric that you was talking for all of these years about Africa.
Right.
It's going to require you to have action. So rather than have action, you're going to cowardly justify you being here in America. Because if you say you're Native American, well, we was here first. There's no need for us to go anywhere else. We can continue to stay here and get our asses kicked perpetually. Because we don't want to disrespect our Native American ancestors by leaving this country. Get the fuck out of here, you nigga. No, on some bullshit. And then on that note, I want to bring in my brother, Mr. Big Dev, so he can build on it in his own special way. What's up, Dev? Is he here?
What's going on, bro?
Oh, what's up?
Yeah,
is everything all right, man?
We'll talk about it later.
You need some help? Because I'll be over there.
No, I got it, man. I'll talk to you.
But, yeah, man, what do you think about these I don't know. Did you hear what I just said about these people claiming America?
Yeah, I mean, bro. Yeah, I heard what you said, but I don't have no thoughts on these shit fucking idiots no more, man. All I'm focused on is getting this nation and getting the hell away from this situation, bro. That's the only thing I'm focused on at this point. You know what I'm saying? It's just like I'm wasted too much energy trying to change people and get people to understand what we're trying to do now. It's like now it's just, man, it's go time. I don't care. Whatever happens, happens.
You know what I want? And it's wishful thinking, but I hope that one day we can actually get this. These people are not going to stop. It's, and this Native American thing is a serious thing, Minister.
Oh, yeah.
It's a serious thing because this is the counter that they have to nationhood. This is the counter that they've come up with. And that's the reason why I bang on them so hard and I address it all the time. These Facebook Indians, these Facebook Native Americans, YouTube indigenous people. Because this is the counter. This is the main counter. And that's the reason why the sister reacted so volatile toward what Kala said.
Right,
because you can't. Whenever you try to take the delusions away from a person, it's going to be a huge pushback when you do that.
Yep.
And that's what we're getting. We're getting all of these people because now you, as a Native American, an indigenous person of North America, you can stand here, and now you can say, well, if you leave here, you're disrespecting your ancestors because they came from here.
Right. No, God. Oh, man. Yep. Like.
And isn't that the angle? Isn't that the angle
yeah,
that they're coming with?
Yes, sir. You know, I listen. I have, you know, I have not only one temple I'm with two temples. You know what I'm saying? And I have people that that I am teaching and training and things like that. You know, so I am trying to help people while I am here. And, you know, we've always said that it's not a mass exodus. We've always said that we need the headquarters, the host nation, off the shores of America, but to be able to then have satellite communities here in America to do business here, you know, to do business here, to deal with our families and things like that. And I think that that's the part that they don't want to accept, because that means that then, okay, you know, that means no, you cannot argue that we're all just trying to get up out of here and go. That, no, we will have communities here, so we're asking you to devote your resources and your support, not even your resources if you don't want to, but your support of having a, you know, powerful host nation elsewhere that you can swear allegiance to, so that when you start bitching about how Trump is putting, you know, setting fire to your ass, you can say, I'm getting up out of here, I'm going to Afghanistan. You can say that. But the reality of it is that when that starts happening to you, if it does happen, where you going to say you going to go? What are you going to? What's your alternative? And to me, this is what I don't get. What I don't get is that if somebody talks about giving you an alternative, you know what I'm saying, some place that you could actually either do business with or go and live, you are speaking against that? Like, you're saying that that's stupid and asinine? I don't understand that. I've never understood that. Because, as we've had said many, many times, we all came to the conclusion after many years that waiting around in the quagmire here, you're just going to have the same situation. You're going to reset. It's going to be you against them. They're going to infiltrate you with the CIA, you know, do all sorts of different things. You're going to be back to square one. You keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Why not give yourself a better fighting chance going elsewhere where you could have a strategic alliance like you just mentioned with Korea, and you would be, you know, you'd be less hindered in building your own. But that, to me, it speaks to the topic of what we're talking about tonight, which is why do we have leaders in opposed to having a system? And I think that that's what I would like to talk about next, is the system itself. What exactly is the system? How would the system benefit us more than quote unquote leadership? Because we all know that even if we start with sports, which I'm pretty sure Mac is going to come on and talk about, those teams that don't depend on leadership but depend on systems are the ones that are successful for decade after decade. It's the people that have a good coach and a good quarterback, and that's what they bank on. So those people either get fired or leave, the team goes into the tank.
Right.
And to me,
that's a good analogy, too, like with the sports, because if you notice, teams with good systems are consistently good.
Right. Right.
You know, it's not just dependent upon one player or whatever. They, for the most part, are competitive and throughout every season. They may have, you know, like every team has a downtime. Like there's always, no matter how good you are, you're going to have that season where, you know, you got rookies and you're not right together, so you have a bad season. But if you look at out of 10 games or 10 seasons, 8 or 9 of them are competitive. If you have a good system. So yeah, that's definitely. Mac doesn't have his hand up, so he must be in transit or something. But Mac, if you hear me, if you get clear, just hit the one button and I'll bring you in.
Somebody just dropped it. That call. Did he? Okay. Is that him? 646?
Yeah, it's me.
You in transit, man?
I'm getting ready to. I'm in a T spot.
Oh, okay.
They get ready to kick me out.
So what's up? Did you hear the topic of the show?
Not really, but I did listen to a bit of what you guys were talking about in regards to people trying to be Native American and disavowing themselves from Africa.
Yeah. Well, the topic of the show was The Secret Black Talking Heads Don't Want You to Know.
Mm-hmm.
And the secret was, it's not really a mystery, you don't need a leader, you need a system. Right. And Minister wanted to get your thoughts on that as in regards to how you can equate that as an analogy with the sports teams.
But like you guys were saying, some teams have a system like the San Antonio Spurs in basketball. Perfect
right.
example. They've been consistently good for the past almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Players come, players go, and they still roll. If you look at their record now, Tim Duncan retired, but they have two young guys, and they still are a top team in the NBA. And like y'all were saying, you know, they're playing a game by not trying to go to Africa, not looking towards Africa. They want to stay American. They want to stay Americanized. They want to stay American.
Right. Indeed. And Max, the thing is that we know that systems come from people, but when systems are strong, like the Pittsburgh Steelers or the New York Giants or even the Patriots, when the system is strong, people are born into the system, buy into it, and then they carry it on. Am I right?
Yep. Yeah. Definitely.
And this is – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mac. Oh, okay. This is what we're trying to say, brothers and sisters, if you're listening to it tonight. What we're trying to say is that land infrastructure and nationhood, acquiring land, building and maintaining infrastructure, and the ability to claim nationhood and to experience nationhood, that's something if you build that, that's a system. That's not going to be dependent on, you know, Holopsism Mugabe or Daoud Dangote or, you know what I'm saying? Like you know, that's not something that's going to be built off of us. That's something that is going to be a system in place. And new brothers and sisters will come into it, love it, and want to keep it going. They'll argue for, let's say, you know, they'll even argue for stuff that we didn't look at. And they'll say, listen, I'm down for the whole nationhood thing. I think we should do this. And we'll look at that. We'll say, no, brother, that's not what we originally intended. And they'll argue for it. And they'll have facts and figures and things like that. And we'll say, damn, I didn't look at that. That's what a system is. It's not a dictatorship where a new brother and sister will say, I argue for this. And we say, yo, shut up. Or we're going to have our boots come and knock your head off. You know what I'm saying? And to me, that's what you have. That's the secret. That's what you have today. You have organizations where they say it's an open system and everybody has equal rights in it. But when you try to criticize the leadership, next thing you know, you got dudes coming after you. And if anybody
mm-hmm.
on this line knows about that, I know about that.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And the piggyback, your system should be able to adapt, or the people should be able to adapt. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the art of war. If everybody is in a downtime, we have saved. We have done things where we don't have to worry about that while everybody else is suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, take the New England Patriots for example. They've always adapted. They've been a smash. I said it on the show recently. They've been a smash mouth offense. They've been a ball control offense, all with Tom Brady.
Hmm.
And if you apply that to us and where we're going and what we have to do, we're gonna have to be the system's gonna have to be flexible for change in the world. You know, change amongst our people as people get older. You know, new people are going to have to come in, and they're going to have to amend the system, but
right.
keep the system pure and keep the system so that it's for the people and keeps the people safe and honest and, you know, where we don't have to worry about what we've been doing here in America and how politics and corruption and all that stuff. We're going to keep it pure and move on and keep moving.
Right.
While I have you gentlemen on, I want to address, like, I want to point to a part in the description of the show, and I want to get your your take on this. Where I said the secret is you don't need a leader, you need a system. I also said stop sitting on the damn sidelines waiting for some charismatic personality for you to watch twist in the wind and be a martyr for you. Get your skills, talent, passion, tenacity, determination, and black ass into the land, infrastructure, and nationhood game. Give me your thoughts on that.
Go ahead, Mac.
We've had charismatic leaders. We continue to have so-called charismatic leaders. And we have groups that are charismatic, like take the NAACP, for example.
Yep.
What have they done that hasn't changed? They've been doing the same thing for the past, since all three of us been born. And we still have nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's changed.
Right.
And I'm going to take a leader like Malcolm X. Once he was murdered, the energy died. They destroyed the Black Panthers. Energy died.
Mm-hmm.
Khalid Muhammad. You know, I'm a he passed. Energy died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's we perpetually been going through that cycle. So I feel you on that, Hollop, and we need to develop a system that sustains us and keeps moving.
Right.
It needs to flow like water.
Right. 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 My take on the situation is first of all, that was excellent, Mac. But my take on the situation is that it's similar. My passion now, as I'm older, and I've gotten a skill myself, or two skills, I should say. My passion has always been to try to appeal to those who have skills to come to the nationhood argument. My passion is also to build a system to encourage brothers and sisters coming into the movement to get a skill for the nationhood argument. And to me, those are the two things I think that was lacking that I'm hoping to influence the third generation, some of these brothers and sisters from third generation to pick up. Because you have... To me, the most pervasive part of the movement that people are seeing is the debate culture. Everybody wants to get their information up and basically prove themselves against each other in these kind of discussions and debates. And me, as you can see, I really don't want no parts of that because I'm busy trying to become excellent at what I do. Because I just see a day, man, where we're going to have land someplace else and land here. And to me, at that point, it's not going to be no debate. It's going to be, yo, shut up and pick up that hammer. Shut up and pick up that drill. Shut up and pick up that computer and start designing stuff. And to me, that's when all the debate stops. So I'm not saying that I would not defend my faith. I'm not saying I wouldn't even defend land, infrastructure, and nationhood. If you push me, I'm going to. But I'm going to avoid it as much as I possibly can because I just see it as a waste of time. And to me, getting what you have gotten in this world, but dedicating it towards your own, to me, is the ultimate satisfaction. And I would say that satisfaction is close to making love. Because if you think about it, I know it's going to sound crazy to the listeners, but if you think about it, being able to work within your own system, being able to practice what you love within your own system, where you don't have the stress of color politics, you don't have the stress of somebody looking at you a certain kind of way, you don't have none of that kind of stress, you are just dedicated to doing what you do, and you know that every time you do whatever you do, whether it's hitting a hammer or stroking a keystroke, every keystroke adds to your nation. We don't know how that feels. You must confess. I don't know how that feels. None of us know how that feels. And to me, that's the dream. The dream is that I get up every day, put on my uniform, and go to work or go to my business. But every time I install a deadbolt or install a card access system or a fire system, like, man, I just did something to, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to be long-winded, but I'll say this. When you look at white folks, like I picked up a night job for a little while, and at the place that I work, they had you guys would actually, relate to this because what they had was they finally brought UFC to Albany. And so it's at an arena and they had UFC fight there. And yo, while the fight was going on, I didn't know this. all the white people screaming out, USA, USA, during the UFC fight.
He's screaming out USA?
Say what?
You said they were screaming out USA during the UFC fight?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there like, does this happen in every UFC fight? USA. And what I come to the conclusion of, brothers, is this. Any sport or anything that you do in America as a white person, you see America different than everybody else does. You see everything you do as adding to the country and to the nation. Black people,
right.
You see it as you're just trying to feed your family, you're just trying to survive. And if you spent time in the military, you convincing yourself that you're trying to basically add to the country that's yours, but you know deep down in your heart that this country is not yours. So even at a UFC fight where dudes is knocking each other out, they're watching people knock each other out, and that makes them say USA. And that's bizarre.
But in a way, it makes sense. In a way, it makes a lot of sense because this is their country, and so everything in it, they see, they have this sense of national pride.
Right.
You know, because, and this is the thing I try to get black folks to understand. It's like, if you, let's say you're in a building that you didn't build, but you just live there.
Right.
You don't take pride in it. It's like, oh, who cares if you throw some garbage on the floor? Big deal. It's like, it's not yours. It's just some place that you're, if somebody else owns the property, somebody else owns the land, you just live in there. You don't have any vested interest in seeing that land be beautiful or making sure that everything is well kept.
Mm-hmm.
But if you built it, then the way that you look at it is, if somebody was to throw some garbage down, you'd probably be the first person out there telling them, yo, pick that up.
Or you're going to spaz.
You know what I'm saying? You're not going to let them just destroy something that you built.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So that's another thing to show you that we haven't built shit voluntarily.
Right.
Because if we was really on it like that, then we would take better care of it.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And that's why they have us stand and do the national anthem at baseball games, football games, basketball games during this, you know, keep you in line.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That's a good point. Yep. You put your hand
I
over
wanna
your
give
heart.
My thoughts on that sitting on the sideline thing. We got a lot of people. Like, if you have a team that you're getting ready to play, it seems to me like everybody wants to develop strategies and tactics and this and that and what are you going to do? I want to know exactly how we're going to do it. But nobody ever discussed the main thing that we have to discuss before we even do the strategy and the tactics. Do you want to beat this team? Do you want to win?
Right.
If everybody on the team is not in agreement that they want to win, then what strategies and tactics, what difference does that make?
Huh.
And it's the same thing. I see the same way with nationhood. Can we agree that we want to have something of our own? If we can't agree on that, then why do you need to know details of something that you don't even believe in?
Exactly.
That's why the first step is, do we want this? It's just like at Alcoholics Anonymous. You got to acknowledge that you're an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
You got to acknowledge that you're a drug dealer. You got to acknowledge, you know, a drug addict, I should say. And you got to acknowledge the thing that you are before you can change anything.
Right.
So
right.
We've already acknowledged that this is hostile territory for us. We are not wanted here. We are not welcome here. I've showed you. We've showed you. Countless times, I mean, to the point where it's not even an arguable point.
Right.
We showed you so many ways that we are treated as second and third class citizens. So the question is, and I'm talking to every person that can hear my voice on this broadcast, and even every person that can hear the YouTube clip when I make it. You, the person listening, what are you going to do? Do you want nationhood? You. Stop looking to everybody else. Stop trying to figure out what Hollop is doing, what Dev is doing, what Minister and Mac is doing. What do you want? Do you want to stay here and be treated like a second and third class citizen, or do you feel that your people should have a nation of their own? That's the first step.
Uh-huh.
Everybody wants to make
right.
things more complicated than they really are. Do you want right. a nation or do you not want a nation? Are you going to shit or are you going to get off the pot?
Right.
And that's for every person. Every person as an individual has to ask themselves that question. What do you want? And if you want that, connect with other people that want the same thing. And then we can get this. This is not difficult
okay.
to get.
Okay.
The only reason why it's difficult to get is because you got so many people throwing turds in the punch bowl and try to get you distracted on other bullshit and not concentrate it and narrow it down to the common denominator. Do we want a nation? Do we want self-sufficiency? Do we want to control our reality? Or do we want to be under someone else's control? That's it. So if you're kicking this nation within a nation stuff, then you're really saying you want to be under someone else's control.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's it. That's how I feel about it. Anybody else?
I'm sitting on the sideline. Y'all want to stab that or take a stab at that?
Are they gone? What happened?
No, I
mean, no.
All right. Well, unless anybody has anything else to say, I'm going to end it because I think we done made our point.
Without a doubt.
I think we made our
I'm
point.
Sorry, bro, that I couldn't participate much. I got some real serious bullshit going on.
No, I'm
going
to talk to you after I get off of this so I can see what's going on over there.
I'm still here, Hollis. I just, I was by some noise, so I muted myself.
No, it's all right. It's all right. Because I'm going to end it, and I'm going to end it on what I started it on, because I really like this song. Sorry.
Please do. Please do. Love you. Love you.
Because I'm ultimate.
government, and I'm about to let off. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding, truth, recruit. So won't you throw a hand in the air? Put up a peace sign, a peace finder. Though we're feeling good, we should, we could, we would. Stop. Think for a moment, okay? And then sway. Well, I can say that we must do away with all the stress and the strife. So God bless your life. Use kindness and never blindness. And you will find that this perspective is best. Check it out. These are the words that I manifest. I manifest.
Which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.